Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley, Colin McDonald with you, 1380 KLIZ The Fan. Streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com. Hard to believe it, but we're down to the last show of the season, our season. There's plenty of good golf left, a couple of months of great golf in our area, and much more than that around the country, of course. Chris, been a kind of a crazy year. We got to the Tour Championship, and it turned out to be pretty compelling, really, the last couple of days.
Yeah, it, you know, I think we talked on the show last week where I said I was going to hold out until Monday to determine how, you know, what I thought of the event. And I still think it's not perfect, but it was pretty compelling over the weekend. And that's what you want. And it was definitely much just going by score rather than having the FedEx points and having to have somebody interpret those. It was definitely much easier to follow and, you know, much more like a regular golf tournament. I'm not sure how much I like the, you know, kind of the first place guy starting off at 10 under, but it turned out to be a great weekend of golf and certainly fun seeing Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka playing in the same group and tossing it up there. And gosh, Justin Thomas had a great weekend and Xander Schauffele. And there was a lot of great golf to be played, and you know, really until the last few holes where Rory kind of separated himself, it was pretty fun coming down the wire.
Yeah, and what comes down to those two guys, or those four guys, really, they've been right there all season, all of them, and it just worked out that way that they were all hot again toward the end of the season. Koepka maybe hit a couple of big hook shots late in the day on Sunday, but with six holes or seven holes to go, it was still up for grabs. Yeah. And then Rory managed to pull himself away. Then he made a couple bogeys, and it got a little closer. But he was pretty much in firm command down the stretch. And most of those guys, when whatever the mindset is of the greats, they get a two-shot lead with the four to go. And guys like this generally aren't going to give that back.
No, not typically. And, you know, it really – I was really glad to see Rory win because he's had such a great year and, you know, kind of has flown under the radar, even though that was his third win. I mean, statistically, he was outstanding all year. I mean, he led strokes gained overall like 2.6 shots around. I mean, that's huge from separate yourself from the next best guy. So there were a lot of I thought it turned out in the end pretty darn good.
Yeah, I thought so too. When one of the few guys, Adam Scott, made a big charge on and talk about a chance to make some money. These guys, I think at top eight all make $1 million at least. And Adam Scott scorches the place on Sunday, and he moves into sixth, kind of from the back of the field. So, and you know, the announcers are awfully good about this is $1 million 5-footer, you know, and which is hard to think about, you know.
I wonder, you know, when you're in the heat of the battle, I don't know if you're thinking about that cash on the line or not, but $1 million is a lot for any, regardless of what your lifestyle is.
Yeah. Paul Casey clearly knew on the 72nd hole he had a 5-footer. He knew he needed a 2-putt to win $2.5 million, which I think was third overall. And he lagged up the 5-footer.
it almost looked like he whiffed the first putt. I mean, it was the foot was not on the accelerator there.
No, it was not. Tap in for a 2.5 mil, pretty good payday, though.
Yeah, for sure.
And, sets those guys up, obviously, for life if they're good with their money, these guys at the top of the game. So, and Tiger never too far away from the news. He gets a knee operation right when all the headlines are talking about Rory and then Koepka. And then Tiger announces a knee operation, which went well, just a cleanup job, sounds like. So that's good. But let's get back to Player of the Year for a sec. You've talked about it a lot, Chris, on the show. And I think we're in agreement that, you know, the majors are the main thing. So Rory has the fabulous year, as good as probably any player in the last 10 years, close to as good overall.
Yeah.
And maybe on par with the Spieth year a couple of years ago for how good he played the entire season. But Koepka backed up his PGA championship with another PGA championship, and he finished second in the U.S. Open and second in the Masters, and he won, and he had three wins, and he won Player of the Year. Had to be very close voting with Rory.
Yeah, I would. You know, the PGA of him, he won the PGA America's Player of the Year. The PGA Tour Player of the Year is coming out, I think, next week. But PGA of America is really just goes on strictly on a points criteria rather than voting. PGA of America's will be a vote, but pretty hard not to vote for Koepka, I think, with his major win and the finish in the Masters, U.S. Open, three additional wins, pretty darn strong.
Yeah. He came very close to winning three majors.
Yeah.
He won one, but pretty impressive season, and they all kind of say it, especially if they don't win, but he just said on Sunday, basically, I can't turn it on every day.
Nobody can.
Yeah.
You know? Otherwise, whoever would win every week.
Right. Nicklaus never would have lost, and neither would Tiger.
Exactly.
Turn on every day. Or Rory. He wouldn't either.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on the women's side, great young player, South Korean Jin Young Ko. She's been just phenomenal. She's 24 years old, and she wins Player of the Year on the LPGA Tour. And you were saying her non-bogey stats are unbelievable.
Yeah, she's gone, I think it's 2.5 tournaments now without making a bogey. I can't go two holes without making a bogey. That's, I mean, when you think about that, you never a three-putt, never hitting one, you know, in the water or out of bounds or whatever it is. That's impressive.
Yeah, she's another in a long line of great young players on the LPGA. We'll see about her longevity. It was nice to see Brooke Henderson right there as well. She's very popular, and, of course, they were in Canada for that last tournament, so Brooke had a huge following down the stretch, and she caught fire on the back nine on Saturday, and I think birdied 9 out of 12, or went 9 under on the last 12 holes to shoot herself right back into the tournament for Sunday. So, but then Ko didn't back away. Jin Young Ko probably been the best player down the stretch, and she's the Player of the Year. And we wanted to mention your good friend had quite a week in golf last week.
You know, we talk about the amateur game on here sometimes, but a good friend from Des Moines, Iowa, Mike McCoy, finished tied for medalist in the U.S. Senior AM, and at taping, they're down to the semifinals. He won his first match, and then got beat in a tough match in the second one. But also, another Des Moines guy, Gene Elliott, also qualified for the match play. Finished seventh in the medal play, and he got just really had a tough match. 95% of the matches, I went and looked. If you shot even par, you would have won. Gene shot even or one under and got beat. So 2-1. So you never know in that match play. It's tough deal. There's no defense.
And you work with both those guys.
I do. Mike, on and off with his golf swing. He takes a lot of lessons. But Gene, I've worked with a lot on his putting in the last couple of years. And he's the number one ranked senior amateur in the country right now. So it's kind of fun to follow that.
Right. Little letter recommendation from him wouldn't be bad.
Mac, I was going to mention, we didn't talk about this, but there's in Golf World Magazine online, they do this My Shot column. I think you've read before, but they've got one that came out on Tuesday with Lee Elder, who was the first African-American to play in the Masters. It is fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, it's I read all of those, and it's the best one I've read. And I knew quite a bit about Lee Elder, but I didn't realize his whole story. And it's if you like golf, it's a must read.
Great to hear. Yeah. Lee Elder was remember the name well. I used to play a putting game pretty much by myself because my brothers didn't play much in the house when I was in grade school and junior high. You know, and I was such a nerd about stats that, you know, I'd have to have, like, you know, 50 guys in the tournament, you know, Al Geiberger and well, I better put him in. I better put Lee Elder in. I better put this guy in. And then you never get done. You know, you got 50 guys putting 18 times, 18 different holes. And sometimes your favorite, like Gary Player, always putted pretty darn well.
You'd throw it a little bit.
So he was up toward the top, perhaps, yeah.
But great column in Golf World Magazine online. So
yeah, good one. Oh, we've got Chuck Letkatsky up next. He's going to review the great tournament we had in town out at the Legacy with some tour pros or future tour pros perhaps coming to town, and a nice event at the Legacy. We'll talk about that next. You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ.
You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley and Colin McDonald at 1380 KLIZ, The Fan.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley, Colin McDonald with you, 1380 KLIZ, The Fan, streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com and now available at Podcast One. Streaming brought your way by our friends at Mills Ford and Mills GM. Got Chuck Letkatsky on the phone, head golf professional at Craigens. Chuck, you are coming off a great event. We talked about it beforehand a few weeks back, and we want to just kind of review what seems like an awfully good success. You had hopes of getting the Korn Ferry Tour in town and a mini tour event at Craigens, and went off quite well.
It was a wonderful week. We started off with the gala on Monday night and the Prince tribute band. We had a couple hundred people at the Sports Center at Craigens having a big time, and Tuesday's Pro-Am had over 100 players in it, so all the pros got a practice round, and our sponsors got to enjoy the golf course. And then Wednesday and Thursday, we had just a great competition that ended up in a playoff. We had a tie for first place. So
very nice. Joe Jusic ends up winning the playoff and getting the win, and takes home $15,000, which for a mini tour event is nice prize money. And you had a nice field, and when that kind of money's talked about, you're going to get some young guys in here with dreams of the tour to play, aren't you, Chuck?
No, it was awesome. We had people from the Web.com Tour, now Korn Ferry, the McKenzie Tour, the Dakota Tour, some section professionals, and we had just a great field, and the golf course was challenging, but, you know, those guys that won, I mean, Joe shot 69-66 to get in the playoffs, so it's just great scoring.
Chuck, we haven't talked about this between us, but what did you think of the scoring? Was it about what you thought it would be? Was it lower or higher?
Well, it's interesting because out of 50 players, you know, 21 players, I think, the first day shot par or better. So, to me, that was a good fair test. The pins were challenging. The greens were really, really fast. But, you know, those guys that are good players, they still managed to break par. And then, you know, the second day was a little bit easier. But they still, the golf course was challenging, and it was a fun event.
66, that's a nice number. Yeah, he comes in and then wins the playoff. And an overall purse of around $70,000, Chuck. We're hoping to get the event here, so the more and more players that you draw to the event, and I think, Craigan just represents itself so well anyway. So, again, we had some comments from players who were in town, how nice they think the venue is, how it's would be a nice fit for the Korn Ferry Tour, and just doing a lot of things right out there. And how far down the road are we looking, Chuck?
Well, you know, we're really ready for the call, if you will. Any time that the PGA Tour were to call, you know, we would try to find a way to say yes. But, you know, this year we expanded the tournament. You know, instead of just a one-day event, we went to a two-day pro event with the Pro-Am as well as the gala. And, you know, next year the goal is to have a four-day event. Thursday through Sunday would be competitive golf, and then, you know, have Pro-Ams and such on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So, you know, just turn it into a week-long community event where, you know, hopefully have a junior day and such. So, Chris, you know, we have a great junior program out here, and we could get some juniors involved and, you know, raise some money for the community.
Chuck, how does the process work to gain the tour's attention and actually make it become a Korn Ferry event?
Well, it's interesting, but, you know, Friday, so the event ended Thursday, but on Friday, Ron Sanders and I sent some communication up to the tour and, you know, showed them the pictures and just, you know, we had electronic scoring out here. We had hospitality tents. And just, you know, showed them that we had a real event. And, you know, we just start to lobby them that we have a committee and that we have a group of individuals, but also just that the community is behind it. And that's the most important thing is, you know, we need community support for something like this to happen.
Right, and looking to gain some more, I'm sure, some nice community help the last year and then again this year. And obviously we'd like to expand that a little bit in the future. So, yeah, I think it's a great event and a lot of prestige involved if we can get Korn Ferry Tour here. And who doesn't like to have their name attached to something like that?
No, it's the truth. But truly, you know, we just want to showcase all of the Brainerd Lakes area. I mean, there's we were talking to the folks from Cuyuna Regional Medical Center and, you know, just over in Crosby, I mean, just the great, you know, biking and diving. And there's so many activities around the lakes area that is why we all live here.
Right.
Yeah, exactly right. Jusik, he came from Michigan. How far and wide did the players come from, Chuck?
Well, it was really interesting. The marketing folks from Cuyuna Regional Medical Center were out on the course and were just happily surprised. We had golf professionals from Washington. We had Canadian folks. We had you know, people from Minneapolis. And so it was just an international event, you know,
yeah.
even though we're kind of in our infancy, if you will.
Fantastic. And down the road, of course, so we're getting toward well, really, a lot of people would say the best time of year to golf, September, October. And Craigens has lots to offer in the next couple of months, Chuck.
Yeah, it's true. Our men's league is wrapping up and our ladies' league and all that kind of stuff. But September and October are great times to come out to the golf course. We've got we still have junior golf in the fall. We've got rates that start to drop here at the end of September. And, you know, it's just, the golf course are in their best shape of the year because they've been growing all summer. And we'd love to have people out and enjoying the courses and enjoying the sunshine.
I think maybe year-round this summer the course has been in fantastic shape since day one, really.
Yeah,
yeah, we've been blessed. Matt McKinnon and his staff on the ground side of things have really got things rolling well. And, you know, it was really interesting talking to the golf professionals that you know, they said our greens and our fairways and stuff are, you know, they were as good as anything they've seen this summer. So that's nice to hear from people that are out of the area.
Did the players have any time to get on board with Captain Dutch and take a little cruise around the lake?
They did. Funny enough, Monday night we had a great sponsor dinner and a boat ride, if you will, and then they also went fishing. You know, we had a bunch of boats that went out fishing for the sponsors on Monday during the day. So that's it just adds to the kind of the event and the week long fun.
Yeah, Chris had a great guest on last week, one of the pros, and he was saying the exact same thing. I tell the guys, you got to go fishing, you got to get on the water. It's Minnesota. Come on out and go to Minnesota.
Yep. Yeah, Neil shot 68-68, so he finished in a tie for third place. He played a great game last week.
Yeah.
He's had a couple good week stretch here with his win in North Dakota and then the tie for third finish here, so.
All right, Chuck, thanks for taking the time today, and we'll see you down the road. I say it every week, I'm going to play more in September and October. I think I actually can now.
You couldn't play any less, Mac.
Hardly any less or any worse. Chuck,
well, thanks, gentlemen. It's been a great summer, and we look forward to talking to you guys again.
All right, thanks, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck.
Chuck Kletkatsky, he's had a golf professional out at the Legacy. Put it on your golf calendar. At least two great months of golf left, so... let's get out and play. You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on The Fan.
You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley and Colin McDonald at 1380 KLIZ, The Fan.
Want to welcome to the show Justin Smith. Justin is the new men's golf coach at the University of Minnesota and former golfer himself. Justin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thanks, Chris. Thanks so much for having me. Certainly a privilege and excited to talk about some good Minnesota golf here.
Yeah, it's It's great to have you on the show, and it's great that you were named the new coach of the Gophers. I'm very excited for you, and you've got a long history with the University of Minnesota. And tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so no, I'm a kid that born and raised in just north of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and so I spent just about all through high school in a town called Franklin, Pennsylvania. And then kind of when I was down in 10th grade, we moved down closer to Pittsburgh, so I spent 10th grade through 12th. Graduated high school in Moon Township, Pennsylvania, and then before I came out to here, so I was recruited by Brad James, who was my assistant coach for a year, and then was my head coach for 3 years, and so we achieved some pretty cool things here. Won two Big Ten titles as a team, and then won a national championship in 2002. So certainly excited to try to keep doing what those teams were, and some of the other championship teams that came in the last 10 years or so, and try to restore that and get our kids excited to kind of chase those standards, no doubt.
You know, if I remember right, you played a pretty pivotal role in that that championship, especially the last day. And it came at an interesting time in the history of men's golf at the university, because they were about to drop the program. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was right around maybe 1st of April or so. I remember getting a text from our coach, Brad, and he kind of mentions, he says, hey, whatever you do, don't read the paper. And that's, it's no different than maybe my 4-year-old or whatever. But whenever someone says something like that, hey, don't do something, what are you going to do? You're going to go read the paper. So we knew that they were, they were looking to us, women's golf, and then men's gymnastics. They were looking to eliminate those programs. The interesting thing was those kind of programs at a big, big time university like Minnesota, it doesn't put too much of a dent into what they're trying to do, financially. So it was always interesting, but we all know kind of the great community and support that we have for golf, down in Twin Cities, also up north in Brainerd there and everything. So, it was an incredible opportunity that we had a lot of individuals really step up and save our program. But that kind of really fueled our fire, no question, for us to really, bond together and go achieve some things that, those programs have never seen before.
Yeah.
And not a lot of northern programs, for that matter, had achieved before. So there's no doubt that we were a really good team, but, that little bit kind of put us over the edge to go ahead and take care of some business in some fun ways.
Yeah, and am I remembering right? Didn't you make the putt to win the NCAAs?
Yeah, I was the last one to come in for our team, no question. So I think we ended up winning by 3 or 4, for that matter. But, at the time when we weren't in the final group with Georgia Tech, who was in second place, and they had holes to play, every stroke really mattered, it seemed like, and especially a team like that was, a top three, top five team kind of every year. So I was able to make, I think I made like an 8-footer for par on the last, and, it certainly gave us enough cushion. And, to have all your teammates there, every coach is there, family, friends like that, it was a pretty surreal moment there to kind of be a part of. And it's amazing that it's, what has it been, 17 years already, wow, kind of since that is. So I'm starting to recruit some individuals that, they're now, we're born after that date, so, it's all comes kind of full circle there.
That's great stuff. Gives me goosebumps thinking about it.
But,
So you, one of the great things that's happened to the University of Minnesota golf team is you have a great new facility at the U. It's, these college golf facilities around the country are incredible now, and the University of Minnesota has really not had much in the last 30 years. I mean, the golf course is a little short and for you guys to play, and doesn't have a great range or anything. And tell us about your new facility. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, no, we had, this past January, we unveiled this new facility to our student athletes. Both men's and women's golf share this facility. It was privately fundraised and took, 3, 4, 5 years, and quite a bit of time when you go ahead and raise, you know, $3.5 million. Just, it doesn't happen overnight. So then you throw in, you know, kind of getting it through the university, getting our department, getting our, you know, board of regents, everyone on board for that and for the betterment of our student athletes. It just takes some time. So, you know, finally in end of January, we're able to get that accomplished. But it's located right in our outdoor practice facility as well. So our outdoor practice facility in about 2010, Tom Lehman kind of came in and gave some ideas and helped us maybe redesign a little bit there, and sunk a good chunk, you know, of dollars in, and really turned out to be an amazing kind of 100 yards and in, 120 yards and in kind of facility for that matter. So we have a range. We hit kind of on the back end of the public side of the Les Bolstad driving range there, kind of right up next to the 13th hole, that par 5 there at Bolstad. Mm-hmm. So, but it's an amazing place. We have 6 heated hitting bays. We have a 3,000 square foot chipping and putting green indoor there with, you know, kind of state of the art synthetic turf that a lot of the, you know, top facilities in the country are using. And then we have a team lounge. We have team locker rooms, private lounge, coaches' offices. And then we have a system in there called Putt View. Which was came highly recommended from a lot of tour players. And they, you know, some of them have it in their own facilities there, which is the luxury, I guess, of a top-notch tour player to be able to do that stuff. But this is really kind of what separated our facility from a lot of others. And that's my whole goal in a lot of ways with our program here is at Minnesota, like, how can we be different? And we got to be different because the challenges we face with weather and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that with some travel and hopping on planes a bunch of times. But, you know, it's for no question when we get recruits in and show them it, you know, how we can be different. And this type of technology certainly lets us do that.
Absolutely.
Along with the TrackMans and all that other kind of stuff that we have within that facility. But, you know, that's a blast using that and seeing our student athletes really benefit from that.
Yeah, how big impact do you feel it's going to have on your ability to recruit players to the University of Minnesota?
Yeah, we're already seeing that, no question. I mean, you know, I think that you know, we're a bit selective. Maybe the first few months, you know, we're in the middle of our season, you know, so we didn't have like at first a ton of visits, a ton of recruits kind of in to see it. And then really this summer we've been hitting it hard and kind of preparing not only for, you know, the upcoming year or two, but, you know, kind of a couple years down the road within the ancillary rules there that we can have kids on campus. So, but it's amazing. It's just it's a jaw dropper. You know, it's just it stops everyone in their foot tracks. Some have heard it, some haven't, and when they see it and kind of how we train, you know, it's really the perfect way to train, you know, for indoor, you know, golf for that matter.
Absolutely.
I mean, it lights up this track with the break, and it takes into account, you know, the slopes and the speed of the green and length of putt, and you can adjust it based on how hard you or soft you want to hit the putt. So it's really amazing technology that kind of fits, you know, all types of putters, and they can just kind of groove their stroke and their speed, and, you know, it kind of gets some direct feedback there. So
you bet. Justin, how many kids that come to the University of Minnesota, there what is their goal to play professional golf after school?
We certainly hope all of them. I mean, that's our pitch. That's the individuals we want here. We want great, well-rounded student athletes, no question. Great students in school, great people, great families. But we want them all to be wired and all to be motivated to play the next level. You know, for my sake, that's kind of where my experience and my expertise can really come into play. Knowing, you know, for 8 years I chased it out there and made to the Corn Ferry Tour, I think is what it's called now. And it was a nationwide tour when I played it for 4 years, kind of in the late 2000s there. But that's the motivation. That's where we're going, and that's the kind of individuals we want here, because that's the level we want to play at. And, you know, all the top 20, you know, top 15, you know, programs out there, I mean, they're going to have tour players up and down their roster. So we may have to develop them. You know, we'll spend a bit more time, and maybe we don't get, you know, that many in right away, but, you know, we want everyone motivated that way. So
absolutely,
it's a great deal, and we've got a lot of talent, and we just got to refine it a little bit. So,
well, along that lines, a former Grover just won on the European Tour
this
past weekend, Eric Van Ruden.
No, just amazing. You know, it's, when, you know, you always hear people say, you know, it's great to see great things happen to great people, and that can't be more of the truth with him. I didn't play with him when he was on the team here. I wasn't around. I was still playing pro golf, and you know, chasing it and driving a lot of miles out there. But really gotten connected with him really well the last few years, and he is really on an incredible track and trending in a direction that not very many get to in this game, no question. And we only was a matter of time before he got that big win, and it was just exciting to see him do it. Yeah, this past weekend.
Yeah, he did. I hear right that he's still living in the Twin Cities.
His wife is from Roseville.
Okay.
So her family still lives in the area. He just bought a house down in Jupiter, Florida, and joined a club down there. So looks like, you know, hopefully in the wintertime he'll be spending a lot of time there. Yes. I think his goal, last time we talked, you know, his goal was to play both tours, you know, long term.
Sure.
You know, kind of like, you know, what some, a lot of those other top Europeans have done, you know, recently in the past years. And but, you know, for him, what he's accomplished and kind of the stability that he has on the European tour, I think you'll see him out there, you know, quite a bit, no doubt. And that's kind of what's, you know, his stable, you know, for that matter, and what he can do and travel all over the world. But there's no question with his wife and a lot of friends and his connections here in Minnesota, you know, certainly he needs to be playing that 3M Open every year. So we got to figure that out, no question, and the draw that he can be there. But I think, yeah, hopefully we'll start seeing him more in the U.S. here compete.
Yes. Tell us about this year's team, Justin.
Yeah. No, we have this is probably as excited as I've been, no question, about a team. And and it's a lot of different reasons. It's you know, we came off an opportunity where we were tied for the lead going to the final round of the Big Ten Championship, and it didn't turn out in our way. But, you know, a learning experience for a bunch of young guys that has to happen in a position that we weren't in for a long time. And, you know, something that, as you all know, you got to kind of fall on your face a few times in this game before you really kind of, you know, kind of get over that hump and kind of get past those hurdles or whatnot. But so we got a group that went into the summertime. They were crazy motivated. Kind of the theme of the summer was, you know, put yourself in uncomfortable positions. And so they were, you know, playing big time amateur events and traveling all over the country. And, you know, a few of them even went up to Nova Scotia and played the Canadian Am. So, you know, they were traveling internationally. And, you know, then we'll have three international kids from England on our team. But I think the theme is obviously going to be competition. I mean, not only the tournaments that we're signed up for and where we'll go travel to, but within our own team, it's going to be a deep team. You know, 1 through 10, we're going to have everybody an opportunity, most likely, is going to make this team. And really, when that happens and you got kind of, you know, a lot of guys that are just vying and pushing from the back end, you know, everyone gets better. And that's what we've got to have happen here at a little bit more consistent and quicker rate is development of these players. And, you know, certainly, you know, that's kind of why I'm in this position and to go ahead and put things in place for them to ultimately reach their goals.
Oh, that's exciting. And you've got your first tournament coming up next weekend at home tournament, the Gopher Invitational.
Yeah.
That's at Winsong Farms in Independence. And are there opportunities for people to come out and see that, Justin?
Yeah, absolutely. No, free admission to everybody. You know, one of the things that's really separated this tournament from a lot of other college tournaments is not only the field that we generate, but the volunteers that come out and offer up their time and services, you know, to help kind of elevate our tournament to where a lot of times you won't go to tournaments and there'll be live scoring. You know, there'll be maybe every 3 holes or every 9 holes or whatever may have you, but we'll have walking scorers with every group. We've just about filled all those roles. We've got a few spots left on Sunday for the morning and afternoon sessions, but, you know, so that's, you know, 25 groups and we've got 70, so total 75 spots filled for that. So the support's been incredible, but for admission and just coming out and seeing it at Winsong Farm, which, you know, it's one of the best courses in the state. And, you know, when we talk to other coaches that come up here, I mean, it's their favorite course that they come to, and their student athletes say that as well. So we've got a really cool thing going. We've got some cool ideas that we want to put in place, you know, for years down the line to even make it better, to kind of be more of a Gopher Golf homecoming. But, you know, like I tell everybody, you know, our greatest asset in our program is our student athletes and our coaches, but in our support staff, but right behind it is our Gopher Invitational and what we can put on, you know, as a display for the state of Minnesota to see and bring in some of the best teams in the country, and helps us schedule, helps us go play and kind of recruit to playing the top, you know, top 20, top 30 schedule every year. And but we take it very serious and we're super excited and, you know, want everybody in there, and as much as possible to come out and kind of see some of the best college golfers, you know, on display here right in our home state.
Yeah, it's a fantastic level of play. Who are some of the teams that you have coming?
So, yeah, so I'd say, you know, we've had every year, we've had Oklahoma, we've had Arkansas, every other year Baylor comes. Texas A&M is going to be a new team this year. NC State was a new team last year. They were a top 25 team, and they absolutely love it. So it's a staple on their schedule. And then, you know, Iowa, Michigan State, Purdue, Utah, you know, just to name a few there. Newcomers like Marquette is a solid Midwestern team that's coming for the first time, and West Virginia is another team that's their program's on the rise. So this is a very, very strong, probably one of the strongest ones that we've seen. Last year, our tournament was ranked 17th as far as the strength of field in all of college golf, for that matter. And we'll hopefully look to see this year be even higher. But so we got a lot of work to do in ourselves to try to figure out how to beat these teams. But on our home course and the course we know well, so we'll be ready for them, no question. But certainly an NCAA regional type field, and that's always kind of one of the motives every year to put together. So
absolutely. Well, that's great stuff, Justin. So you said there are some volunteer opportunities still maybe available. How do people find out about that?
You can go to www.gopherinvitational.com, and there'll be a volunteers tab kind of right there on the homepage. And it's very simple. You just fill out your name, email address, the shift that you want to kind of volunteer for. Like I said, the Monday option is quite full, but we're looking for Sunday still. You have to fill a couple spots there. You're going to get a great hat, great shirt along with it to in a lunch as well. So we try to take care of them as much as anybody because we know the work that goes in and how that part of our tournament makes us, a level of its own and very special. So we got to do it the right way and get excited about bringing people from all over to come help us.
Yeah, and you get to walk right down the fairway with the players and see some incredible golf. So
there's no question. We were just working on kind of alumni of Gopher Invitational, and off the top of my head, I'm not sure, but it's amazing how many individuals are now out on tour, you know, competing and winning, for that matter, across the globe. So the individuals that do really well at the Gopher, I mean, they're ones that keep your eyes on for a long time because they'll surface out there in the pro ranks too, and you certainly won't be able to get as close to them out there as you can here.
That's right. Well, that's great stuff, Justin. We really appreciate you coming on and telling us about the program, and we're excited to have you as the new golf coach.
No, thank you. It's very surreal. Obviously, my dream became a reality when that phone call was made that I was going to be the next golf coach. So I take it very serious. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to put a great product out there for people. And certainly connecting with you, Chris, and all the great things that you and your academy kind of does for the state of Minnesota, we're excited to be a part of that too.
No, thank you, Justin. Well, I will. I'll look forward to seeing you next weekend down in at Winston.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Justin.
Have a great day. Yep.
That was Justin Smith, the new men's golf coach at the University of Minnesota.
It's Lakes, Woods, and Irons at 1380 KLIZ and streaming online at BrainerdRadio.net.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley, Colin McDonald with you, 1380 KLIZ, the fan. Streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com, and I hope you enjoyed the podcast this year. Our streaming sponsored by Mills GM and Mills Ford. They've been with us now for a few years, so thanks to them. And Tito's Handmade Vodka, our sponsor of the 19th hole, which we are literally on the 19th hole here, our last segment for this year as far as the radio part of the show goes. We might have some podcast pieces reposted and maybe Lakes, Woods, and Irons as well. We've had some excellent content this year. Tito's served locally, of course, Craigens, Grandview, Madden's, Rutgers, and most of the golf courses in the area where you can settle down for the 19th hole. All of those courses have been with us two or three times over the course of the summer. That's great of those guys to take a little time out of their schedule and go on the air with us and talk about everything that's happening. And boy, fall golf, not just those courses, but we've got 10 courses within shouting distance around here that are well worth putting on your golf calendar. Had hoped to get Golden Eagle on. We've talked to him a few times, but they just haven't been able to sync up. And Eagle's Landing as well. Breezy Point and Crosswoods and Cuyuna, they all joined us this year as well. So definitely make some time on your golf calendar for all the great places to play in the Lakes area.
We've got such a wealth of great golf here in the Brainerd area. And coming up in the next 6-8 weeks, some of the best golf weather the entire year.
So. Yeah, I was going to ask you, Chris. Were you out on the range at all when the young pros were in town for the Craigens tournament last week?
Yeah, I spent quite a bit of time on the range, just kind of observing guys and what they were doing, and talking to some of them. Some great young pros out there trying to get to the next level.
And so many of them must hit it what seems like exactly right almost every time they swing the club, huh?
Yeah, it's not as good as what you'd see at a tour event, but it's pretty darn good.
Yeah, yeah.
There is definitely some speed and some power out there. We did during the practice round, the pro-am, we did a TrackMan event where everybody in the field, the pros and the amateurs, we captured their swing and their driving distance. It was a long drive contest, and the longest player in the field carried the ball 348, 124 mile an hour club head speed, which was impressive. So there were I think we captured 35 or 36 pro swings, and of those, I think 26 of them hit at 300 or farther carry. What was surprising in the pro-am, though, on the amateur side, I think we had 8 or 9 guys that hit it over 300.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
There's a few bombers around here. Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
You know, if you ran into them in men's league at all, head-to-head, when they're 75 yards ahead of you.
You know, what was interesting in... my son Joe made the observation, if you go to a regular tour event, you get a lot of guys practicing after their round. You'll see a lot of guys on the range. And there weren't many guys that practiced after they played. We saw some guys on the putting green hitting some putts, but there were only a handful of guys who came to the range after they played. And, a good friend of mine always talks about, if you want to be the best at something, study what the other best people do. And so I think some of those guys need to take note, and maybe that's one of the separators that they haven't gotten to that next level.
Sure, so. That could very well be. Yeah, yeah. A couple extra hours a day probably, or whatever the case. Plus, they're just fresh from their round. It's all kind of clear in their head what they need to work on and that kind of thing.
For sure.
My great mentor in golf is my father. He passed away here a couple of weeks ago. We had his funeral last week, but looking through all of his stuff and writing his obituary and those kind of things, golf was, as we joke, that golf was his number one love, and then all Oneida, and then his golf, and then his cats, and then us three boys battling for that third and fourth spot. So, but yeah, Tumwater Valley and Olympic Country Club and Cap City and Tacoma Country Club, Weyerhaeuser, or not, Tacoma Country Club was an interesting story. He wanted to get on as a member there, and they were kind of expanding. And it's one of those older country clubs where it used to be, yeah, you can join for $40,000, or something like that. Yeah. Well, when their membership goes down, then they lower that number down so they can get some guys playing. So he joined, and they called him, and they said, you've been voted in by a couple of guys, and come on up and play. So, Dad, not one to sit on his laurels, drove up there right then, gets out on the putting green, and here it's one. He's putting with a guy, and they're just talking golf, and it was one of the Weyerhaeuser brothers from Weyerhaeuser. Multi-millionaires, probably with a B, actually. First guy ran into a Tacoma Country Club, one of the Weyerhaeuser boys, so kind of a fun memory.
Yeah.
A great picture of him at the National Senior Left-Handers event that I hadn't seen before. I was thrilled to see it. He just looked so happy to be there. He qualified for the National Seniors, I'm sure second flight or whatever it was, or first flight maybe, because he was a pretty good stick. But, those kind of memories, a lot of fun. I've spent a lot of time on the golf course with my dad, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about the game is, it bridges so many generations of people and so many people from diverse, different backgrounds. Where else do you get to meet one of the Weyerhaeuser brothers or that type of thing? And it's one of the things that I love about the game and what's so great about kids hanging out at the golf course, the people they get to meet, the examples they get to see, and life lessons.
Yeah. And he was a great example of The kind of game you can take it with you forever. He wrote me a great letter a number of years back, which was in his stuff, and which I have still carried it. You've seen my four wood, the old growth, as my dad used to call it. he saw me. I played with him, and I think it was probably Tumwater Valley and par five, and I'd hit a big drive, and then I hit that four wood on the green from, I don't know, 240 yards or something when I was a younger guy. And he wrote this great letter about it, which is it means a lot to me, of course. But hitting the old growth, he said, the old boys don't can hardly believe you hit the old growth on a 2-1 and whatever number it was. So that's a fun memory, and just lots of great golf memories. But at that time, I read the date on the letter, and it was about 11 years ago, something like that, 2008, I think. And so Dad was 80 when he wrote that. And he was a good player at 80. He walked the course every day till he was about 85.
That's great.
And he could really play at 80. I had to go to get him, and pretty impressive. So that's the lifelong life of golf and a golfer. You know, a cart. What are you talking about? A cart? Well, now everybody rides a cart, but a lot of guys used to walk every 18 of their lives. So we wanted to talk about practice and exercise. You had a chance to talk to a student of yours, and it comes up a lot. Are you practicing or are you exercising?
Yeah.
Well, you and I've had one significant lesson this year, which isn't enough, but it's great to enjoy your company and your time out there and your expertise. Practice and exercise. You know, if you got expertise last season and you haven't been practicing that expertise for the last year, the game isn't probably improved that much.
No, and that's what the student of mine and I were talking about, and he said he hadn't gotten any better this year. If anything, he'd gotten worse. You know, I said, well, you know, we haven't had any lessons this year. And he said, yeah, but I took a bunch from you last year. And I said, well, you know, if you're going to, I'd much rather, if somebody, let's say they were going to take 10 lessons, I'd much rather them see them take those 10 lessons over an extended period of time, say one a month, than, you know, 10 lessons in a couple months. And because you have to have time to make changes or improvements. And if you really want to get better, you have to analyze your game where it's at. And just striking the ball better is not necessarily going to get you shooting lower scores. You have to really go after and see what are the areas of the game that are costing me shots, or what are my strengths, what are my weaknesses, and go after, one, making your strengths better, but improving your weaknesses and improving the areas where you're deficient and not getting better. And we talk about, you know, I always joke with people, I say, are you exercising or you're practicing? And most of us just go to the range and exercise, and, you know, you get a bucket of balls and it's got 50 balls in it, and you hit 25 seven irons and you hit 25 drivers. And there's a time for that practice where you're maybe working on changing some aspect of your golf swing. But to improve your game, we all, if we sit there and hit enough balls, at some point we get in where we have a sense of rhythm and timing, and we start striking all our shots pretty well and solid. But on the golf course, we don't have that opportunity to hit multiple shots from the same spot. So it's harder to find that sense of rhythm and timing in the golf course because we're in a one-shot environment. And so when we practice, we have to create more of that one-shot environment. And so, for instance, if this gentleman, he really struggles with his chipping and pitching. And we talked about it, and a typical practice session for him would be he'd hit 40 or 50 shots to the same pin, hitting from the same place. Well, you can, after a few shots, hopefully you can start timing that. You're hitting the right landing spot. They're all rolling up where, you know, you're next to the hole in that one putt range. But again, you don't get that opportunity on the golf course. So if, for instance, in this case where you're practicing your chipping, you might pick out a spot to chip front, but if there's five or six pins on the putting green, you might hit shots to each of those.
Yeah.
So each time you have to pick out a different landing spot. You've got a different, you know, it may be uphill or downhill where the break is different. So you have to pick out that landing spot, see where it's going to land, where it's going to roll out, and work each time where you're taking your time to choose the landing spot, to hit that spot. Then you have to regroup on the next shot to hit a different one. And that's much more transferable to the golf course because that's what we have to do out there. And, you know, if we were in a full swing situation where we're practicing on the range and you might hit a driver and then you might pull out a 7-iron and hit it to a different spot or a different target. And then maybe you hit a driver again and then maybe a pitch shot. So you have to vary your practice and you need to put pressure on yourself as well. You know, because on the golf course, we're faced with shots where we're in a place where we're uncomfortable, where we don't quite know the shot to hit, or where, you know, we don't want to hit it in the water, out of bounds, those type of situations that put us under pressure or stress. So we have to recreate that in our practice situation so we get better at taking it to the golf course.
Yeah, no question. You can imagine it. Most of us play at maybe one or two golf courses fairly regularly, yeah. One or two, and not very many more than that. So you've got a few spots out there on the course that you always have trouble with, a certain shot or a certain shape of the hole, and that's something you can work on. Say, okay, here I am on number 17, yeah. And there's trees on the left, and that always gives me trouble. What do I do?
Exactly.
Yeah. And then you just... think, okay, that would have worked. Oh, there's the old problem. That would have worked.
The other great thing is on-course practice. You know, actually go out on the golf course and you know, if you struggle with a particular hole, you know, we can all find times on the golf course that aren't very busy, and you go out and you know, you hit that drive on that hole and give yourself some more confidence on it. Or if there's a force carry over water that you struggle with, you know, learning to hit that shot from that position. So when you get to that point, you have a positive image of in your mind of the shot, rather than stepping up there with a negative image of the ball going out of bounds or in the water or whatever the situation is.
A couple of years back, we had a segment similar. You had talked about the a walking lesson with two golf balls. So you always have a It creates a positive mindset, like, well, here's what you could have shot.
Yeah.
Here's what you did shoot. And you've got the best of the two, basically, and think, oh, I can hit a good shot from
here.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, that's a great, you know, really to see what your true potential is. If you play your own best ball with three balls, you go on the golf course, you get to hit three shots in every situation and take the best one. It is, you know, you'll be surprised what score you can shoot.
Yeah.
But it really gives you a sense of what potentially you could play to. And we never get quite to that point, but
sure.
It really helps you lower your scoring barriers and gives you a better feel for where you could be on the golf course.
Chris, thanks for another great year.
Thank you, Mac.
A lot of great guests this year, and I think we will try to post some of those on Podcast One. Maybe just some individual interviews from the course of the year that are quite good. So thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Mac.
Another good year of Lakes, Woods, and Irons. Thank you all for listening, and you can find the shows archived at lakeswoodsandirons.com and also at Podcast One. You've been listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ.